Sunday has come and gone, but our Fins coverage is still full gear. We'll bring you live coverage of Coach Philbin's Monday press conference, plus a complete breakdown of yesterday's game. It's Dolphins Monday opening drive right now.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Dolphins Monday opening drive with former Dolphin wide receiver O.J. McDuffie and John Congemi. I'm Jesse Agler. Be with you until 1 o'clock this afternoon discussing the Dolphins' 23-20 loss at Indianapolis. In just a couple of moments, we'll bring you live coverage of Joe Philbin's day-after press conference next door in the interview room. Be the first time the coach addresses the media since going over the game film yesterday after the game. Take your phone calls at 1-855-GO-FINS, and we'll continue to break this one down. Obviously, guys, third down was the story yesterday. It's the story today. Will be the story tomorrow. The basics, the Colts were 13 of 19 on third down. The Dolphins had the best third down defense in the NFL coming into the game yesterday, allowing just about 26.4% on third down, 68% yesterday. You don't have to be any kind of mathematician to understand the difference in that one. Andrew Luck threw for an NFL rookie record 433 yards, 204 of those yards coming on third down. It's not just the math of it. You know, some of those third and longs, they're just absolute backbreakers for a defense.
I think that's the biggest issue is the distance that they covered. You know, the third long, third and 10 plus, as Coach has called behind the chains, the plays that they made as a team, the Colts did. That's what's frustrating, John. You know, you see the guys, a little bit of pressure on him. You know, we talk about like lane discipline. We talked about this last week. In order to contain a guy like Luck, you got to be disciplined in your lanes. You got to maintain your gaps. You got to keep him in that pocket. He's a great passer on the run. And when it got to be third and long, let him get out of that pocket a little bit, made some big plays for him.
Well, there were six of those opportunities, OJ, that were 10 or plus yards in third down, and you can go back through the game, and that really led to time of possession. You know, the Colts were on the field for 34-54, so that led, you know, those third down conversions led to holding on to the football.
Welcome back inside the Finsider studio with OJ McDuffie and John Congemi. I'm Jesse Agler. The Dolphins are at the halfway point, 4-4, and obviously, if you remove context, I think a lot of Dolphin fans would say, okay, 4-4 with the rookie quarterback and the first-year head coach, but obviously after having won three in a row, it's tough to go to Indianapolis and losing a game that, you know, you certainly thought going into it you could have, should have won, and coming out of it you had the opportunities to win. So there's always a context.
Always. You look at this team, I mean, this team has lost. We're 4-4. We've been in five tight ball games. You know, lost three and won two of them. And that's the thing about it, that, you know, we're 4-4, we're a young team, everybody doesn't know what to expect. But at the same time, though, you see how competitive this team is, John. You see they can get into ball games, and you get in ball games like that, you know, we now expect this team to win those games because we've already seen how they've lost them. So I think that the expectations are high amongst a lot of people because they know how capable this team is of winning games like this.
A lot more good things than bad things after eight games, because take a look at this schedule and the way it's laid out and the way the Miami Dolphins have got to 4-4. The games that they lost, the tight games, they didn't play 80, 90, 100. They didn't play their best. Yesterday, I would not say they came close to playing their best on the defensive side of the football. Yet, with 2 minutes left to go, you've got it first and 10 at midfield with the chance either to tie or win the football game. So the Miami Dolphins are on the right track. And I think Joe Philbin, it's very important for him and his staff and his team this week to worry about the Miami Dolphins. Not concern themselves too much with the Tennessee Titans, but about the Miami Dolphins. Because if this team can play closer to their optimum, their premium, to their best, I don't see a lot of teams in the National Football League coming in and challenging them at home. Just like the Indianapolis Colts, they held serve at home, and they found a way to win, and they had to do it with record-breaking style from the quarterback position from a rookie. So I don't think you're going to get that same type of play when Tennessee rolls into town on Sunday. So if the defense improves, the offense still continues to protect the football, this team's in good position to move forward.
Yeah, and again, third downs are the things that everybody wants to talk about from yesterday, and rightfully so. Indianapolis, 13 of 19. And the Dolphins coming in had the best third down defense in the NFL, allowing opponents to convert just 26.4% of the time. Yesterday, 68% of the time. Andrew Luck converted a third and 11, a third and 12, a third and 14, a third and 16, and a third and 20. And you got to talk about how those are really those back-breaking ones. And almost half of his passing yards yesterday, and he had a lot of them, 433, came on third down. Joe Philbin said it was the pass rush, it was the pass rush discipline, it was the secondary, It was the coverage. Obviously, when a team has that much success throwing the ball on third down, it's not going to be because of just one thing.
It can't be. You know, it's got to be a bunch of different elements. And also, you got to talk about the tackling as well. There's some guys that were, you know, caught dead to right, short of the yard to gain, and still made plays and get the first down for the Indianapolis Colts. So we got to also, you know, when you get those situations, you know, you get third and long, guy catches up, you know, 5 yards short of the first down, you got to make sure you wrap up and make plays as well, John.
Well, they had seven or eight guys catch footballs, and there's only one guy that didn't have a catch for 10 yards or more. So they were pushing the football down the field, and that led to eight possessions that had eight plays or more in those possessions. Time of possession was definitely on Andrew Luck's side, and he made the most of third down, as Jesse and you alluded to, OJ. So you can't, if you can't get off the field on 3rd and 20 and 3rd and 16, you're going to have difficulty closing out a football game.
Yeah, and there was much more to this game other than just the 3rd down issues. We'll talk about all of that when we come back. We'll also hear from Devon Bess and Ryan Tannehill. Well, actually had a pretty decent game when all was said and done. We'll hear from those two guys. We'll hear from you. 1-855-GO-FINS if you want to call in. 1-855-GOFINS. We'll also check in with the folks in the live chat at dolphins.com. Noah, I think, hit the nail on the head, at least with one of the points. He goes, Andrew Luck is special. Let's not omit that. I don't think there's any question about it. If you hadn't seen Andrew Luck yet, you know, in person or watching an entire one of his games yesterday, you saw exactly why he was selected where he was in the NFL draft and why fans were so excited about Andrew Luck coming into this NFL season.
Hot, hot.
Now, back to Dolphins Monday opening drive.
We knew it was going to be a game that came down to the end, so we wanted to go out, like I said earlier, you know, going out from halftime. We knew that, you know, we're going to have to put some points on the board. So, you know, every time we went out there, that was our mindset that we need some points on this drive. And unfortunately, we weren't able to do that.
Now, as quarterback Ryan Tannehill after the game yesterday, they got points on the board in the first half, 17 of them, including a 31-yard touchdown to Charles Clay and an unbelievable Reggie Bush touchdown run of 18 yards. About as nice an 18-yard touchdown as you're ever going to see. In the second half, the Dolphins' possessions looked like this. Punt, punt, field goal, punt, downs. And so obviously a little bit of a tale of two halves right there. And you could tell at halftime it was going to be a little bit of a shootout. And the defenses, they caught up maybe in the third and fourth quarters, but the Dolphins not able to do enough offensively in the second half. And yet all of that said, and even with some of the penalties and the non-turnovers that should have happened, and those were a big deal, and all the trouble on third down, you can boil it down to say the Dolphins were first and 10 at midfield with 2 minutes to go. Time's not a factor at that point. And so for all the things that went bad for the Dolphins, and they were obviously enough that we could talk about only the bad things for an entire hour, they were first and 10 at midfield with 2 minutes to go, down three, needing 20, 25 yards to get into realistic field goal range.
Had an opportunity, and that's all you can ask. When you don't play your best, and for 60 minutes, the Miami Dolphins did not play their best. They didn't play consistent enough to really make some separation or get the lead in that football game. They had an opportunity at the end, and it seemed like they had a couple of plays that just held them back. And in the end, the Colts made a couple more plays than the Miami Dolphins did, and that was the difference in the football game. You know, you left some plays out there. That I think that's the frustrating thing about looking back at yesterday's game, OJ, is that you left plays out there. You left possible interceptions. You left, field position possessions out there because, you know, if Sean's able to hang on to that football, you may only have to go 5 yards to get a really legitimate kick to tie the game, but that sets you up to win the game because now you're setting up in shop inside of the 35-yard line, and that gives you a legitimate chance to win at the end.
I think that's the best thing said right there, John, is that, you know, opportunities were there to make plays. This game is about – this football, NFL is about making plays. When they're there, you have to make them. We've had a couple opportunities to jump on some fumbles. We had a couple interception opportunities. We had a few opportunities out there that we left out there, and that's the thing about it. These guys started off so well. You know, we talked about weathering the storm in a hostile environment, an emotional place. You know, we go out there, first three drives, three scores. You know, and that's how you want to go out there and handle that situation. Then from there, you know, we struggle to make plays when they really count it. First and 10 from the 50 with over two minutes left to go in the game. You got to go out there and get that game done. So that's another opportunity where our guys didn't make the plays to get it done. And that's the name of this business. When the game's on the line, when plays present themselves, you have to make them.
Yep, absolutely right. And the Dolphins had trouble with that at times yesterday. Still had an opportunity. They were in a position to tie, maybe even win the game at the very end, but unable to execute at the end of that final possession. And so the Colts do end up winning it 23-20. We'll take your phone calls, 1-855-GO-FINS, going until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Also remember, at the Finsiders show coming up this afternoon at 5 o'clock, Joe Philbin will join us in studio. Devon Bess yesterday, 6 catches for 67 yards, a long of 16. He and Brian Hartline each with a nice afternoon. Hartline, 8 catches for 107 yards after the game. Kim Bocamper caught up with Devon Bess in Indianapolis.
Devon, frustrating loss for you guys. Offensively, you did a lot of good things. You just fell short in the end of this game.
That's exactly what it was. We fell up short. They made more plays necessary. And at the end of the day, they won the game, man. So, we put up a hard fight. You know, we came in the first half and tried to set some tempo and make some big plays. And we just fell up short, man. You can't really, you got to capitalize when opportunities are there, especially against a good young team like this. And especially the way 12 is playing on the other side, So we have to stay on the field on third down and execute.
Talked to Coach Philbin, and he said at halftime, he said, hey, you guys, every play is going to be critical in this second half. And you knew going into that second half was going to be like that. Did you feel that pressure walking out of the tunnel?
Absolutely. We knew what type of fight it was going to be. It was going to be a dogfight. It was going to come down to the end because they wasn't giving up. We wasn't giving up as well, They made more necessary plays, man, at the end of the day. I think we can go back and look at the film and take a lot of good things from it. It's a tough loss. It's going to be a tough one to swallow, but we all know how this league is. We have to bounce back and get ready for next week.
Yeah, this league comes down to converting on third downs more times than not, and they did a lot, and you guys did a lot, but just not enough. It was one of those where you couldn't let a drive go away, and once you handed the ball to your punter, it was going to put you in a hole.
Absolutely, and for the most part, I thought we did a pretty good job converting. When it came down to the critical moments and we didn't, I think that's what hurt us. But like I said, it's a lot of good stuff on that tape that we can take and just continue to grow as a team and try to get better, man, every day.
Wins don't come easy in this league. You knew this wasn't going to be an easy one, but it was one that you thought that you could get going in. How tough is it to walk out of this building with empty-handed and not coming away with a big win?
Real tough. Obviously, the goal is to always, win the game. We're here to win, and not to just show up and, get patted on the back for playing a decent game. We're a young team. We just got to keep fighting, though. As experiences and opportunities come up like these type of games, it brings the team together. So we just got to rally together, just stick with each other in that locker room, and I think we'll be all right.
That was Devon Bess with Kim Bocamper after the game yesterday in Indianapolis. Devon, 6 catches, 67 yards. Ryan Tannehill's numbers at the end of the day, pretty good. 22 of 38, 290 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions, and a 90.9 QB rating. He's done a great job of not turning the ball over. And on the other side, of course, the Dolphins' defense had some opportunities to take the ball away. And turnover margin is so huge in this league. Yeah. And yeah, the Dolphins didn't turn it over yesterday, but the Colts fumbled it a couple of times. Dolphins unable to get on either one of those balls. And then to me, there were three near interceptions that were just huge. One in the end zone, the T.Y. Hilton long touchdown. I mean, Luck just chucked it. Right. And Sean Smith was there in a position to maybe make the play and just mistimed the jump, I guess. Hilton ends up catching the ball. It's a touchdown. That's a big swing play right there. Carlos Dansby got his hands on one that looked like it might have had a big return in front of it. And then obviously maybe the biggest one of all, Indianapolis's last true possession of the game, a 3rd and 4 at their own 26-yard line. Luck is getting hit. Ill-advised throw, while he's going down right to Sean Smith, who was, to be fair, kind of crouched down in an awkward position but couldn't catch the football. If he did, it would have been a 46-yard field goal had the Dolphins not gained a single yard after that. They end up, as we said, getting back to midfield when all is said and done, but from a momentum standpoint and from a field position standpoint, that one was absolutely critical.
You need to make plays in football games because they don't present themselves that often, and there's probably 6 or 7 plays you always look back to and say, wow, if we make that play, it makes it so much easier on our offense or on our defense or on special teams. And that particular play almost seemed like it was a deflating play because the defense had been, had been torched the entire afternoon, with the volume of yards that Andrew Luck was able to, throw for and keep plays alive and just make plays on third down. The defense needed a break. for as poorly as they played as a group for 60 minutes, they played well in spots. And if they had made two or three plays, if Carlos Dansby comes up with the catch, if Sean Smith plays the football better in the air, or he catches that one under 4 minutes, that game is completely different. So you could say, you know, Andrew Luck did this, and T.Y. Hilton did that, and Reggie Wayne had a great game, and, you know, guys were coming off the edge on defense. All that stuff gets wiped away, and those great players on the Indianapolis Colts can't celebrate because one of those plays may have changed the outcome of that football game.
And not even a question. And you look at it, and you know, we've seen this team give up big numbers. We've seen the Dolphin team give up big numbers, but they haven't given up big points. And that's been critical. And when you get opportunities like that, you know, these guys, you know, they know it. They know they miss a lot of great chances out there, offense and defense. The side of the ball, and so I think they're going to learn from that. And I know Coach is a great guy about watching film. They're going to see these opportunities missed, and they're going to make a lot of corrections. But let's go back to real quick about what you said about Tannehill. Four straight games without a turnover. You know, I think what Tannehill did in this game was something special. Coming off a week where we didn't know if he's going to play, if he's not going to play, things like that. He earned a lot of respect from his teammates. Earned a lot of respect from a lot of guys like myself.
Absolutely, OJ. You look at that game and two rookies that were drafted in the top 10 in last April. April's draft, 86 attempts, no interceptions. So, you know, you have to say something. You know, Andrew Luck threw for a lot of yards, but Ryan Tannehill came through and without getting 100% of those reps all week, played so well and such at a high level. It was commendable the way he played.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that's one of the real positives to come out of this one. You know, it was a week last week where we spent every day discussing Ryan Tannehill's physical status and if he was going to be ready to go out there and play on Sunday, and he was limited every day in practice, and he wasn't getting his normal workload in practice. Certainly didn't seem any worse for wear because of all that.
Man, he looked great. He really did. You know, and I like the guy. He's a gamer. The guy's a gamer, and that's what you got to have. You know, you see the moxie. You hear him at, even the post-game press conference, you know, he was still a little hot, John, and that's what I like about him. He wasn't sitting there saying, well, I played well, or we did. He was still hot because he knew his team had a chance to make some plays, and that's what you want in your quarterback. You want a quarterback to really never be happy. You know, you want to, even in a winning situation, you don't ever want to be happy. You want to look back, and I see it all the time with Peyton Manning when he says, well, I could have made this play too. That's what I like about Ryan Tannehill.
And that's when he wins.
Exactly. Exactly,
you know,
right.
And that's what you want. And that's why you know you've got a guy that's going to lead a franchise. You found a guy that's not only can do it on the field, he can walk the walk, but the film, when you watch it, it has no emotion. You're going to take a look at it, you're going to learn from it, and you're going to move on. And I think that's what he did yesterday. He got to the podium, addressed the media, talked from his heart, spoke the truth, and now he's going to move on and get ready for this week.
1-855-GO-FINS if you want your say. 1-855-GO-FINS. The Dolphins and the Titans coming up this Sunday at Sun Life Stadium. First home game in forever for Miami, and I think it'll be nice for these players to get back and play a game in front of the hometown fans. We'll take a break when we come back, continue to break down yesterday's game against Indianapolis. Also take your calls, as we said, at 1-855-GO-FINS. Talk about the running game a little bit. Reggie with an outstanding 18-yard touchdown run, and some of the things you'd like to see the Dolphins do better in the second half of the season. But there's some perspective to be had here. 4-4 at the midway point of the 2012 season. If I pumped you full of truth serum and asked you, you know, what you thought would be the Dolphin record this year before the season started, I would bet there's a lot of you that didn't think they'd win four games all season, and they've done it at the halfway point.
Drive. And off to Reggie, wants to cut it out, does so, he's got a blocker in front of him, cuts back 50, 10, what a cut, and another one, touchdown!
Wow! Reggie, oh my gosh, what a couple of cuts he makes to get in the end zone.
I think he was embarrassed when that safety tackled him out in the middle of the field. He made up for it right there.
Wow. Well, he stopped on a dime and gave back 9-inch change. That was beautiful.
Jimmy Cephalo, Joe Rose, and Bob Greasy on the call yesterday afternoon. Reggie Bush, 18-yard touchdown run. That was Southern Cal Reggie Bush. That was video game Reggie Bush. That was R1, spin, circle, whatever. I mean, that was about as nice an 18-yard touchdown run as you'll ever see. And obviously a little bit in the shadows because the Dolphins lost the game. But a fun one by Reggie Bush that gave the Dolphins a 17-10 lead in the second quarter of the game yesterday. Welcome back to Dolphins Monday opening drive. Jesse Agler, John Kangemi, former Dolphin wide receiver O.J. McDuffie is here. There were some fun moments of that one. I tell you what, when it was halftime and the Dolphins were up 17-13, and I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, guys, oh boy, Andrew Luck, Ryan Tannehill, this could be the start of something fun and special over the course of a lot of years in the AFC.
And you think it might be because Andrew Luck and Ryan Tannehill are at the top of their class. And they've done such a nice job through eight games of being able to lead their team in a direction where you feel like as a fan and as a teammate, you've got a chance to win. You've got a chance not only to win this year, but you've got a chance to win in the future. And if you're a guy that's probably a one, a two, or three, or four-year guy, and even a veteran guy that still has a couple of years remaining to be able to play at a high level, you feel like, hey, if I can hang on here, we've got a chance, because this guy's right arm and his smarts and the way that he plays and the way he goes about it is going to lead this team to victory.
Yeah, you imagine if these guys, the Indianapolis Colts, are still in the division, the AFC East, and imagine these guys having to go head-to-head two times a year. I'm kind of glad you guys pointed out during the break that it's good that they're not in the AFC East right now, because they're a damn good team. They're young. You look at Avery. You look at T.Y. You look at Luck. They're going to be one damn good team. I love going against Vic Ballard. You know, they've got so many guys on that offense that they're going to be stellar for a long time. And I don't mind the competition, but let them beat up on some other people for a little while.
Yeah, once a year is enough.
Yeah,
that's
fine right there. So, but the future at the quarterback position throughout the league, starting with these two guys, is bright.
Yeah, Indianapolis and Houston are going to have some fun battles over the course of the next half-plus decade, you would imagine, with the way those two teams are going in the AFC South. Thomas on Twitter said, respect to the young QB, but let's not overshadow that he didn't make plays in the biggest moments of the final drive. Horrendous. Thomas, he moved him from the 17-yard line to midfield in 39 seconds. He didn't get it done at the end.
Right.
And I'm not going to sit here and tell you they were perfect at the end of that thing. He missed a couple of throws, and they stalled out at the 50-yard line. But you can't throw the word horrendous around when the guy moves him after that stomach punch penalty on Marlon Moore, which shouldn't have been a penalty, by the way.
Right.
But after that kind of momentum just murdering penalty, he still gets him in a couple of plays from their own 17-yard line to midfield. It's a start. And look, we haven't seen a lot of opportunities yet this year for Ryan Tannehill to have to sort of come from behind to get that fourth quarter victory. It's not an easy thing to do, and he got him part of the way there. And that's not enough, obviously, but certainly not a horrendous effort by any stretch
of the imagination. He made some big throws in this football game. Even Joe Philbin alluded to it in his press conference. You know, he needs to continue to progress and continue to make strides and continue to make better plays and keep those decisions at a premium. But to say it was horrendous is a joke.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, because you can't do it all by yourself. And I don't think Andrew Luck would be the first guy to say, he should have probably had two touchdowns or maybe one touchdown and three interceptions yesterday. But he had guys make plays around him, and he had the other team maybe not make some plays. So it takes a little bit of give and take. Even though you're the quarterback and you get all the praise when things go well and you get all the blame when things don't, sometimes you need those other 10 guys to make you look good.
It's a learned experience is what it is. He's learned from this experience. He might have been a little hyper at times towards the end of that drive, but like you said, he made some really good plays, and guys have to make plays for him. This is a give-and-take relationship. You talk to some great quarterbacks back in the day. You talk about Marino. Marino was great, but so were Mark Clayton and Mark Duper, and they made plays for him as well. So guys have to help him out as well,
yeah,
especially a young guy.
Just ask him.
Exactly.
Spoken like a true wide receiver, O.J. McDuffie. 1-8-555-GO-FINS if you want to call in and discuss this one. 1-8-555-GO-FINS. Joe Philbin was asked, and we've gotten this a lot from the fans, the running game yesterday, just 18 attempts. And both guys, Reggie and Daniel, even Lamar Miller looked good on his one carry. Reggie, 10 carries, 41 yards, including the 18-yard touchdown. Daniel Thomas, 6 carries, 37 yards. That's an average of over 6 yards per carry, plus a 20-yarder. And Lamar Miller had the one carry for 7 yards. I believe he just played two offensive snaps yesterday, but just 18 total carries for the Dolphins. One of those belonged to Ryan Tannehill. So really 17 from the running backs, and it did look like they were capable at times. Joe Philbin said, hey, look, time of possession, play count, all those things, we weren't really able to get the run going the way we would have liked. It was about 35 minutes to 25 minutes in favor of Indianapolis, much different than the last time these two teams got together a couple years back. But what did you see, from the running game yesterday? And how much of it is, they get to the line of scrimmage, they look at the defense, and they say, hey, coverage dictates it's time to throw the ball.
It does. You look at a cover two shell, which a lot of times you look at, and that's always for Ryan Tannehill making the right check and want to get to the run game. But a lot of times you get that single safety, you want to try to take advantage of the guys on the outside. But also, our down and distance hurt us a lot of times. We got penalties, that put us in tough run situations, second, first and 20, second and long. And those situations call for a short pass or, a pass and play. So we had chances there, when first and 10 and some second down. But when we got in a long down and distance situations, John, because of penalties at times or a bad play before that, it's hard to get back into the running game at that point.
I agree. I think down and distance played a big role in us throwing the football the way we did. But the Colts played keep away. They were able to keep their offense on the football field. Jesse, you mentioned time of possession, and Coach did as well in his press conference today, around 25 minutes to 35 minutes. And he said, Coach Philbin did, they wanted to run it more. I mean, face it, the Colts coming into this game were ranked 27th in the league in run defense. And it looked like the Dolphins, when they had success running the football, they did it on the edges. They did it on the outside. And they did it with a lot of vision running, because you saw Reggie Bush and Daniel Thomas do a nice job of one-cut running or jump-cut running on the touchdown by Reggie, but Daniel did a nice job of running north and south, that one-cut, and he was going through the line of scrimmage off tackle and to the outside, doing a very competent job. So they would have liked to run the ball a little bit more, just didn't have the ball to do it.
Yeah, I think OJ hit the nail on the head. You look at the down and distances. You take out the two-minute situation at the end of the first half and at the end of the game, and it looks like pretty much, and this is unofficial here, I'm just kind of glancing, but it seems like pretty much every time the Dolphins had second in, you know, less than four or five, they did run the ball. But there weren't a lot of those opportunities. Right. There's a lot of 2nd and 8, 2nd and 9, 2nd and 10, 2nd and 11, and that's obviously a tough time to try and run the ball.
Yeah, got
to
win it on first down. Got to win on first down, 3 or 4 yards a pop.
I would say if you're going to ask why didn't they run so much, you're going to hear a lot of different answers, and probably all of them, you know, true to a certain extent, but down and distance, absolutely huge with all of that. Not a ton of first down success for the Dolphins, either throwing or running, and then when you get in a situation where it's 2nd and, you know, 2nd and 7, 2nd and 8, 2nd and 9, it's hard to run the ball there because then you're putting yourself in a tough situation come third down. Interesting game, a lot to discuss and a lot to digest. Another one of those what could have been games, but I think you get that when you have a young team and a rookie quarterback still feeling their way through the season. 4-4 at the halfway point. And here's the big question, I guess. Halfway through the season, go back to your preseason expectations of this team. Have the Dolphins exceeded your expectations, met your expectations, or not met your expectations? And you have to imagine, most realistic Dolphin fans are going to say, no, they've probably exceeded them through 8 games of the season.
Oh, they've definitely exceeded mine, especially after the preseason. I didn't know what to expect from this team. And the fact that they're, like we talked about before, you know, one bad game to open up, and that just went into the first 5 games, in my opinion. First 4 preseason games, first game against Houston, that was all bad Dolphins. From then on, it's been a very competitive team, had a chance to win a couple overtime games, won 3 in a row, had a tough loss yesterday. This team is super competitive. And the NFL, it's always tough to get wins no matter who you're playing on any Sunday or Monday, whatever it is. I think they're way exceeded my expectations on how competitive they are, and I think that this team is a very confident team that know they can get the job done, John.
OJ, when you look back at your career and all the teams you were on, how many times, you know, on a Monday or a Tuesday when you're sitting in the locker room thinking, you know, all 3 phases of the game, we knocked it out of the park. We totally dominated on offense and on defense and on special teams. The Miami Dolphins haven't put that many games together where they've knocked it out of the park, yet they're right. They've exceeded my expectations.
Absolutely.
And if they get better as the season goes on from the midway point at 4-4, and they can win 2/3 of those, offense, defense, special teams battles going out in the next 8 games, they're going to win more than 4 football games. And that'll put them in a nice position of where they want to be at the end of the year in December and going in, you know, hopefully, to a playoff berth.
Right.
That's where they want to be. And they're right in the thick of it. So they've exceeded my expectations, guys. And I think that if they continue to build upon where they want to be, they're going to be a tough team to beat. Tough out down the stretch.
All right, let's get to a phone call quickly before the break. We go up to Illinois. That's where Bud is. Hey, Bud.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Just want to let you know, I've been a long supporter of the Dolphins since 68. And, one thing I haven't heard this year is any kind of discussion whatsoever about the left side of that offensive line. It seems like Jake Long has been missing a lot of blocks. Yesterday there was an example where he took on a linebacker at the line and was leaving Thomas to block a defensive end to come in. And we aren't going to have Tannehill long if he keeps getting slammed from that blind side. I mean, he is really getting hammered and getting back up, and it's a credit to him. But there's been no discussion whatsoever about Jake Long's play this year, and this is supposed to be his healthiest year.
Damn, thanks a lot, bud. I mean, we've discussed it, not endlessly, but it's been discussed. It gets brought up by fans, but it's a legitimate, point to bring up, that the play in pass protection has not necessarily been up to Jake Long standards on the left side, and it's everywhere. And there's a couple of young pieces on the right side of the offensive line, and I don't think there's any question Jake did not have his best game as a pro yesterday, but Ryan Tannehill is able to take that hit, absorb that hit. As far as Jake Long being healthy, we don't know. Right. You know, I mean, he's not on the injury report. There's no literal injury that he's fighting through, but you never know when it's just sort of that mashup of nicks and bruises and all the things that kind of happen over the course of a season. I think if you asked Jake Long how he played yesterday, he would tell you, not my best. And it's something that I don't know how you address it. You know, it's an off-season question to a certain extent because he is a free agent, but there's still half a season, you know, for Jake Long to not only show Jeff Ireland, but to show the rest of the National Football League what he's capable of doing. And yesterday, Dwight Freeney is good. He's a very good pass rusher, and he had a very good game. And credit to him yesterday as well. But no question, it's got to be better than that.
Tough day. Jake had a really tough day, to say it mildly. But what I'd like to eliminate more than – you know, the physical part of it, some of the penalties that Jake has had. And that's more important, I think, at times, putting us in tough situations too. But Dwight Freeney, he's a future Hall of Famer, you know, all-time pro bowler. But I consider Jake at a high level as well, though, John. I think Jake, when you got a guy like that, you've got to be able to rise to that occasion. So just a tough day all around for Jake. And he's still a tough guy. And, you know, he's got to start watching Ryan's back, and I'm sure he will.
Dolphins Monday opening drive.
First and 10 for the Colts from the Miami 36-yard line. Back to throw. Luck wants it all. Deep downfield. It's up in the air, and it's caught by Hilton for a touchdown. In between two Dolphin defenders.
They lost it. Secondary, poor job in the end zone of finding the football.
Tough one yesterday. Andrew Luck, 36-yard touchdown pass to T.Y. Hilton, gave the Colts a 20-17 lead in the third quarter. Sean Smith was there, said he lost it in the lights, and Indianapolis took a lead. Dolphins would eventually tie it back up, but go down 23-20 yesterday at Indianapolis with O.J. McDuffie and John Congemi. I'm Jesse Agler. It is Dolphins Monday opening drive. We've got the Finsider Show coming up today at 5 o'clock. Joe Philbin in studio, also a Dolphin player in studio during that show. Third down is going to be the thing we talk about all week with this game. Indianapolis, 13 of 19 on third down. The Dolphins' third down defense percentage went from 26.4 to 32.8 in one game. It took that big of a jump. 26.4 was best in the National Football League. So they basically go from allowing a third down conversion 26% of the time to 33% of the time. Absolutely massive jump there from a mathematical standpoint. And as we said earlier, guys, some of those third and longs, they're mentally such backbreakers. You know, you got third and 20. As a defense, you're pretty much feeling like you're off the field, and they pick up 22. And that's a really, really difficult thing to swallow. As Joe Philbin said in his press conference, when you look at the third down defense, it wasn't one thing that went wrong. You know, every one is its own little scenario, and plenty of things went badly for the Dolphins.
Well, they're draining on a football team, and they're draining on the defense, obviously, because they're out on the football field. But as an offense, when you're trying to get ready on the sidelines, you look up and you look at the scoreboard, and you see third and 22, OJ, you're going, you know what? Hey, guys, get ready.
Get
your helmet. Let's get ready and get organized. This is our plan going forward. And you hear the crowd roar, and you sit back down, and you wait another 4 minutes because the time of possession was so lopsided. And that only happened, you know, probably six, seven, eight times during this football game, because there were eight possessions that the Colts have of eight plays or more. So there was a lot of times where you felt like you were going to get another opportunity to get on the football field as an offense. You know, Andrew Luck converts on third down. You sit back down, and that's deflating for an offensive team, for a football team.
Well, you know, as good as Coach Philbin and the staff and Coach Coyle are about, you know, looking at film, you know, this is not the typical Dolphins team on third down defense. And that's what thing they're going to look at. They're going to look at a lot of film, and they'll get it corrected. I promise you that. They'll get it corrected, and I don't think that's something we have to worry about. We had a bad day this day when it comes out on the third down and on third down defense, but I guarantee they'll get it corrected. And by next week, you'll see that team being back in the, you know, it went from what, number one to number two on third down or something like that? I mean, it's a tough day, but I'll tell you what, they'll get it corrected, and they'll be back and turn that ball over to that offense on third down.
Yeah, we've talked also a lot about how Andrew Luck has to be given credit for some of the things he was able to do under pressure, whether it was on third down or any other down. And he made plays yesterday, absolutely, and I think this is important to remember going forward, that not most quarterbacks are going to make. He made plays Mark Sanchez wouldn't have made, you know, last week. Sam Bradford a couple of weeks before that. And that's where you kind of have to give credit to Andrew Luck, realize that he's kind of got like a Roethlisberger thing going on back there, where he's tough to bring down. He's tough to get to in the pocket.
And you know what, Jesse? People don't realize either that they look at Andrew Luck and they don't see a mobile quarterback. But you look at combine numbers, he's got the same numbers as Cam Newton.
I know it.
You know, everybody knows how monstrous Cam Newton is. So don't we? A lot of people slept on him as fans. We talked about it a lot on this show.
You know what? Talking to Carlos Dansby during the week, he was made aware of that. He made everybody aware of that. He said, this is a guy that's 6'4". He likes to stand in there and throw downhill from the pocket, but he can buy time, number one, within the pocket, and he can escape and extend plays. And we saw that firsthand on Sunday. You know, he had that ability, that innate ability to keep plays alive and keep his team, you know, to on the football field for scoring opportunities, and he made big plays when he did.
Yeah, Rob in the live chat said, I was getting so annoyed at how much pressure we got to Luck but couldn't get him down. That's credit to him.
He's a big
It's credit
big
to him.
Boy.
Big boy and very mobile, not just outside of the pocket and running. And we saw him take off, I think, the one time, but within the pocket. And while he's under pressure, the sliding, you know, the stepping up, the stepping back, whatever it is, great job of avoiding the pressure, something he's able to do better than most guys. And I think that's one of those things where you say, okay, good for him. Next week, whether it's Matt Hasselbeck, Jake Locker, not the same kind of thing, you know, and that's why you have to give credit to Andrew Luck, not only getting out of the way, but being able to deliver a strong, accurate throw while under pressure.
Yeah, he was accurate, and he was on time, and he made big plays. He made enough big plays, you know, for those 433 yards on 30 completions to keep his offense alive. And credit the guys around him,
there
too.
You
know, Avery and Hilton and Wayne, you know, Ballard, Brazil, they did a great job of coming up with big, clutch, third-down receptions. You know, it's one thing to buy time and throw the football. It's another thing to get open when everybody expects you to go down the field when you have to convert, you know, 10 yards plus. They consistently did that, and that's why they won the football game.
1,000% a team sport. Now, you give a guy a chance, you got a quarterback that buys some time, outside guys making some plays, you got a chance to win ball games.
All right, so the Dolphins are 4-4 at the halfway point of the season. Not only do they get ready for Tennessee on Sunday, but then you get that real quick turnaround game at Buffalo on Thursday of next week. We'll see what the Dolphins do this week, how they handle the Tennessee Titans at home, and then it's on to Buffalo. But 500, second place in the AFC East halfway through the season. Not a bad start to the year for the Dolphins. Should be an interesting second half of 2012, to say the least. Remember, we've got the Finsiders coming up 5 o'clock this afternoon. Joe Philbin will join us in studio. We'll also talk to a Dolphin player. For OJ McDuffie and John Congemi, I'm Jesse Agler. We'll talk to you at 5 right here on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.